Yo, we are very proud to announce the support of Upside.com for Rebel Radio. Upside is a great service if you travel for business. I know a lot of you out there are on the go like I am. I just spent a month in Europe this summer. I had 14 flights and so many hotel rooms and all of that. And I wish I had known about Upside.com at the time, because it would have made my life a whole lot easier booking all of that. Upside will get you the best prices on flights, hotels, rent-a-cars, and the thing that they do that nobody else does is you get a gift card to places like Amazon.com with every purchase, not just your first purchase, but every purchase you make, they'll hook you up. They also offer great customer service through their app, their website, the phone. They have these people they call navigators that kind of help you through the process and make it all real easy for you. Upside.com, use the code REBEL, and they're going to hook you up with a minimum of a $100 gift card to Amazon.com just because you're a Rebel Radio listener. I appreciate them taking care of my listeners, and I want you to get over to Upside.com, use the code REBEL, and hook it up. Minimum purchase required. See site for details.
This is Animal, and you're listening to Rebel Radio.
Fuck you, Josh, but I didn't really mean it.
What's up? This is Rebel Radio.
What up? What up? This is DJ Newmark.
This is Peanut Butter Wolf.
It's your boy. It's okay.
Keep checking out Rebel Radio.
Rebel Radio.
This is Rebel Radio.
We're in the place right here. Rebel Radio is going down.
What did you say, Rebel Radio?
Oh, wait. Let's do it again.
Rebel Radio.
Hey, what's up, Rebels? Welcome back to Rebel Radio. I'm your host, Josh Levine. My guest today is Animal. She's a great recording artist. I like her music. I like her whole vibe. She just put out a new EP called Release with the lead single, It's Over. If you check out the video for that, it's pretty provocative. I think you'll like that one. Check it out on YouTube. She's got some great stories to tell. She kind of takes us through how she went through some major pivots even early on at this point in her career, through a name change, she changed up her musical style. She's got some good lessons for all of us in the art of the pivot. And also she talks a lot about, you know, when she's been too hard on herself, when that's worked for her and when it doesn't work, and how she's kind of learned to be patient sometimes and not patient at other times. There's really good stuff in this interview. I hope you'll enjoy it. Before we get into that, let's hear the EDM.com track of the week. Yo, that was Dream Party with Body Talk, our EDM.com track of the week. And now let's get into the interview with Animal.
Awesome.
I'm fascinated by what the little that I've learned, thanks to your amazing publicists, who are lifelong friends of ours. Jen and I go way back, and Julia as well. And they just showed me your stuff, and I loved it. And my wife loved it. We were watching last night.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Did your wife get a glimpse of, I'm curious if you guys saw the new video.
Yeah.
Unreleased video.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, really
I'm curious about, you know, it's like women seem to.
And that's for, I'm sorry, tell me the song.
It's Over.
Okay.
And that's the single that's coming out. Yeah.
Nice.
It was called It's Fucking, The Last Fucking Time, because that's the hook, but
yeah,
apparently radio wouldn't go for that.
Yeah, so. It's, sure.
you know.
No, it's overworks.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's cool.
No, it's great cool. It's powerful it. Stuff. Thanks. So I want to learn all about you and okay. And how you're doing it. Awesome. What was the first record you ever bought?
Holy shit. And by record, do you mean record?
Piece of music.
Okay.
I guess sheet purchased. Music if you wanted to include that.
No, but. I thought when you say record.
No, I know.
You
know. Yeah, doesn't have to be vinyl.
That I bought with my own money? Mm. Holy crap.
Or like, but that like you went to, you know, it wasn't like the Sesame Street records that like showed up in your house.
I didn't have money yet then.
Okay. No, but you know what I mean?
Yeah. You know, it might have been like, Queen.
Okay.
It may have been Queen.
Yeah.
That was a big one. Wow, that makes me want to like look back in my cabinet.
I have a Killer Queen.
It might have been that. Yeah.
45 that I bought. One time I got money, I think it was must have been birthday money. Uh-huh. I had like $40, which was a huge amount of money for me.
Uh-huh.
And I got to remember how old I was. But, and I had my dad take me to the store and I bought 47 inches.
Whoa, you could do that with $40.
Yeah, back then. Yeah.
Wow.
Wait, so do you remember like falling in love with music for the first time?
I love your questions already. Wow, falling in love with music for the first time.
Or let me ask you this way.
What was your
music when you sort of discovered
okay.
the sound that really okay. spoke to you?
Because that's really different, right? Because
yeah.
discovering music, that's like a whole world. discovering music for me, well, there's a whole story about that. I mean, it was always in my life. My parents put me in classes and stuff like that, but it wasn't really like the thing. It didn't really like click yet
mm-hmm.
until actually it was not long ago. It was a little bit like later for me, I guess.
Really?
But I do remember I was like traveling the world and I was in Australia and I had given up acting, which was my thing, theater. I was really good at it at the time. I'm not anymore. I gave it up and I was like in the void of like, what am I here? What's my purpose? You know, why am I here? What's my
yeah.
purpose? And that's a hard place to be, you know? So it was very hard for me for a couple years there, just like figuring it out. I remember I was like upset about something, and that's usually where I write my music from now. But
sure.
I was upset about something. I was like jumping on someone's bed. I was traveling, you know, Australia, and I started to yodel. And the
wow.
sound, and I don't know if you know how much you've heard, but I kind of do have this like weird yodel.
Only, I forget what that movie was that I think everyone saw when we were kids. Was it Sound of Music? Is there yodeling in Sound of
that's,
Music?
I think that's legit yodeling. That's
oh.
that's like the real deal.
Okay.
I'm talking about like Alanis Morissette little like.
Got it.
Yeah.
Thing. Okay.
That just started to come out and I was
I guess
like,
that's
whoa.
Legit too.
Yeah. I mean, that was my moment of like, oh, there's something, you know, I've got something going on in here, something
yeah.
a little interesting. But I didn't really start pursuing it until someone gave me a mixtape and I started singing to it. But I think that moment, jumping on the bed, yodeling.
Yeah. Nice.
I was like, this is something inside of me.
And then do you remember the first time you performed in front of people?
As a musician?
Like on stage, yeah, as a musician.
As a musician, yes, yeah. I do. I really do. It was. I'm from Toronto, Canada,
uh-huh.
and it was in this bar, I don't think it exists anymore, called Clinton's.
Okay.
My friend was putting on a show. I remember exactly what I was wearing. And I had this thing, like the nervous thing. I think everyone has their thing. But mine was this, oops, was the arm sway the whole time, just like straight
nice.
Head arm sway.
Yeah, that's good showmanship.
Yeah, totally. I'm glad I broke that one. Yeah, that's what video is about.
How'd the show go?
I probably thought it was all right then.
Yeah.
I don't know about if I
no,
saw
but
it
you,
now.
You walked off stage feeling pretty good about it, and you're like.
I don't know. I'm pretty hard on myself. I can't
okay.
imagine that was different back then. But, you know. I go hard on things. I'm definitely not like, oh, I'm just going to do this, like, you know, casually. I'm sure I worked really hard for that show, and I
sure.
probably did my best to put on a good show.
And then was there a moment when you decided or realized that this would be your career?
I mean, I think that moving to California was a big move in that direction, you know, to make that decision to be a little bit deeper in the industry. So I would say that, yeah, you know, that was like 7-8 years ago now that I made that decision.
Yeah.
But making the decision to pursue music is different from music allowing you
to pursue it
as a profession, because that takes a long time.
So, yeah, what was the thing, like, when was the moment when you realized that you could do this for a living?
That was recent. I mean, because that's like
being on this show, probably.
Right here, right now. Yeah. I made it.
That's usually the response, I guess.
This is like the cherry on top. Right. Yeah. It's like a signpost. No, all these things are signposts. Like, you're on your way.
It's a good metaphor.
Yeah.
Hey, if you're in Los Angeles on Sunday, October 8th, come see Rebel Radio live at the LA Podcast Festival. I'll be on stage with Meta World Peace from the Los Angeles Lakers. He's got a great story to share that I'm excited to do for y'all. So come see us live if you can. LAPodFest.com for tickets, and watch for the episode coming up on Rebel Radio. So what was that first one, or when you
I mean, again, I'm very hard on myself, so it took like a few, basically licensing has been really good for me, so that means, you know, my show, you know, my music has been in TV shows and trailers and stuff, and I think it took like a handful of them before I was like, oh, is this, I guess this is happening. Yeah. Oh, okay, I guess I'm paying my bills now? I'm paying my rent for music? Really? Okay. But I still, I mean, every day I'm still like, when's the next, you know, gig going to come? So it's like, I don't know if is there that moment? Well, probably for like Beyonce. But, you know, is there that moment where you're like, I made it and I'm comfortable. Right. And there we are. Like, for me, that hasn't happened yet.
Yeah.
You know, it's a constant striving.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's levels. I was listening to an interview with Eddie Wong, you know, the actor, chef, vice personality. And he was like, basically saying kind of the same thing, that like you make it to a certain level and then there's certain things that can't affect you or can't like hold you back in the same way as they used to, but then there's a bunch of new stuff.
Yep. Yeah. Absolutely. I was listening to a podcast about that recently.
Yeah.
It's called, the name of the podcast, I never remember this, but it was so striking. Problems Are Forever.
Oh, that's
it
good.
It was good. And it was just
very
about
uplifting.
That. Well, it was, and she talks about that. She's actually a coach, and it helped a lot because it's like in my head, I'm like, oh, there will be this time where I won't worry about, you know, things or these things, which is true. I won't worry about these things, but probably my problems will get bigger, you know? So it's really not about like trying to get away from them. It's about trying to come to a place of understanding how to work with them.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm doing now. Instead of being like, contracts and business and payouts and accounting and all this shit that it takes to be a professional musician, which is like 95% of the work, 5% creativity.
Yeah.
At this point for me anyway, it's like, okay, now I just need to buckle down and actually find a way to make this interesting and fun.
Yeah.
And see.
Julia's cousin was on the show. Mm-hmm. Aaron Axelrod.
Yeah.
He's a fantastic artist, super talented. And he said something that exactly that he said, I spend 90% of my time doing the business so that I get to spend 10% of my time making art.
Yeah.
And without that 90%, the other 10 isn't going to happen.
Yeah. I'm trying to balance things out now. Because then also the question for me is like, what's life for? Yeah. And for me, life is for art. That's where I feel alive. And so if I feel such an immense imbalance in those two percentages, which I have until recently realizing that, I'm like, well, you know what? Like, what is the point?
Yeah.
So I'm really working hard to, like, try and balance that out. Even if that means that I'm not doing some of the things that I should in regards to the business. Like, I just hope that my team will pick up the pieces, you know, and let me write more music.
Yeah.
That's what I'm here to do. That's way better at that anyway.
Yeah?
Like, way better. So.
I mean, I think that's part of the challenge, right, is you have to be able to hand things off.
Yeah.
And sometimes just allow them not to get done.
That too.
Yeah.
It's not all going to get done.
Right.
Nope.
Yeah, that's a big one.
Mm-hmm.
So you mentioned licensing, and it looks like you have a lot that's worked really well for you.
It's been nice.
How does that happen? If I'm a musician,
mm-hmm.
and like every musician I know wants to license out their music.
Of course, yeah.
And you seem to do better at it than a lot of people I see. Why is that?
I do have a lot of friend musicians reach out to me about this and asking the same question, and I would really like to help with that. But gosh, you know, it's like I can only say that, well, the way I met, I mean, I just met this woman at a party. So I went out one night and when I lived in the Bay Area, like I just was comfortable. I didn't go out that much, you know, it's like, mm-hmm. I know what's going on. But I went out that night and I met her, sent her my stuff, and she just happened to really love it.
I'm calling, no, you hear me, so I'm pleading, please forgive me, 'cause there's something I've been aching to confess.
She's a music supervisor? Or she's
a music supervisor.
Agent.
She runs the licensing company that I'm now part of. So, I mean, I would say to artists that strive to, you know, like, get into licensing, I mean, unless you get, you know, end up in a situation like that, or you're in LA and these people are just everywhere, it's like cold calling, sending emails, sending your stuff. But there's just so many people doing that. So the truth is, and this, I don't know how to say this to my friends who reach out to me, I'm like, look, like, I always knew. It wasn't intentional. Like, I wrote music that I just knew was, like, going to be soundtrack, you know? Not on purpose. I wasn't like, I'm going to write this for that.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, like, that's just the way I hear music. It's, like, huge strings and huge brass and big drums. And it's, like, so when that happened for me, sort of on, you know, coincidence, I was like, oh, this makes sense. Like, and it's also, it's about time because I've been working really hard. But I wasn't doing the cold calling. I've done a lot of cold calling for other things, but that one was just like, boom, destiny.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, it's just like, write good music.
Was there like one sync that then opened, that like changed the game, that makes it easier to get the next one? Or
I think that it snowballs like that for sure, because then they're like, oh, so-and-so, da-da-da, da-da-da.
So which one would what was it for you?
Well, I'll say what the first, I think the first one, pretty sure it was the first one, which was actually Vice World of Sports. I think they used one of my songs for a trailer, which was so cool for me. And my licensing company is so good to me. Love you. Because she knows that I'm very political. She knows that I'm an activist. So she's never come to me and been like, hey, like, can we use this for McDonald's? Because she knows that A, I would say no, and B, I'd be probably pissed off about it. I'm like, really? So she's actually done really great for me. So, you know, when I saw that it was Vice that picked me up, I was like, hell yes. I love what they do. They're so cool. They're covering really great ground. You know, they're activists for sure. So that was great. That was the first one. I think that really helped, you know, snowball. And then I think the one that had, like, maybe more views and, like, really bumped up my, like, viewership was the show, which I don't actually watch TV, so I had to, like, find the show to watch it.
Yeah.
And I did get hooked after, but the show Lucifer.
I never heard of it.
So, yeah, it's on Fox, I think.
Okay.
Yeah. And that did really well. I don't know analytics or anything like that, but my manager was like, wait a second. He's like, oh, you know.
Yeah.
It's a good thing. So that, and that was good. That was a good thing. And also a very fun show to watch. So it was cool. And it was really cool, too, because, you know, it's on Fox. It's a mainstream television show. Mm-hmm. It's about Lucifer. You know, you can imagine what that's about.
Sure.
Yeah. So it's fun.
So how do you think about, you know, you mentioned McDonald's.
Mm.
And by the way, I ordered in McDonald's for us.
Perfect.
So they'll be here in just
a
minute.
Yeah. I'll be ready with my picket line.
And then you mentioned a show like Lucifer, right? And so how do you draw those lines of what's okay to align your brand and mm-hmm. your art with?
Well, that's where I was on my way to saying right. was the cool thing is with a show like that, that because it is so mainstream and my music, that album that did really well for my last album, We Animals, that whole album was about the state of the world, the interconnectedness of all life, mm-hmm. equality of all life, you know, animals, obviously, environmentalism. I write in a very, like, I would say, sort of dark, poetic way. So upon listening, if you just heard the song on the radio, you wouldn't know for sure that it's what it's about, mm-hmm. but that's what it's all about. And so to have these songs with this content on these huge shows, I mean, the moment in Lucifer, that show, was this woman where they're in bed, and she turns, she's about to stab this guy. I mean, it's just epic. And that song is about, I'm apologizing to the earth mm-hmm. for what we've done.
Sure.
And I'm asking for, like, forgiveness and, like, what can we do? And, of course, that they don't know that. But I'm like, wow, this is fucking, like, this for me, that's activism.
Yeah.
If you can, like, hit the masses like that.
So if I were being difficult, which I never am.
I believe it.
I would say, okay, but, you know, why not spread that message even on a bigger stage, like a McDonald's commercial, right? Woo! Here's the biggest brand in the world. That's, you know.
Mm. Wow, big one. If I got an offer like that for like $100 million, uh-huh. we need to have a serious debate about it. It probably wouldn't be smart of me to just turn it down because you're right. There might be something there, right? There might be something way bigger than the commercial. There might be, oh, and then I'll have all this money to do something way sure. bigger. Or also, oh, and then like I'll have this other release coincide with it that
you could buy a McDonald's franchise and burn it down.
Or make it vegan. Effigy.
Yeah.
The vegan McDonald's.
I don't think you're allowed to do that.
No, probably.
I think
sure
that's
not.
A violation.
No, absolutely. It is not gonna work. Yeah. But you're right. You know, there is that. There is that. So, you know, yeah.
I'm just wondering how you think about that stuff, because obviously you have a very strong point of view as an artist. Mm-hmm. And, you know, my experience as, you know, someone and around people who care about their world and the art and the companies that we support, like, my experience is that it's a really complicated issue. Mm. That it's not like, oh, there's this guy in my neighborhood who has a store and he's an asshole, so I'm not going to shop at his store.
Sure.
Right? Or it's like everything is sourced from somewhere that we don't know exactly what's going on and the environmental impact. And some things are really obvious. Mm-hmm. And if you object to, you know, killing animals for meat, then probably McDonald's isn't a good fit, right? But then you're trading off money and opportunity and reach and all kind of other stuff.
It's tough.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll cross that bridge when I get there.
Sure.
I hope that I'm blessed enough to have to cross that bridge.
Absolutely.
That's, you know, would be an honor.
Yeah.
I think.
Okay. What about, so you changed your name. Mm-hmm. And I want to understand why and how and what's that. And, I think I saw a little bit of the old stuff. There's just one of you playing an acoustic.
Ooh, long time ago.
Yeah. And
I'm like, where'd you find that?
I have my source. Yeah. But it seemed like a different artist project. Is that accurate? Or was it? Tell me about the decision to become Animal mm-hmm. and how that's worked.
Well, there were a few reasons. The first reason was actually sort of political in a way as well. My birth name is Lila Rose. And so, but my main like competitor on Google was the other Lila Rose, who is a very, very famous, very religious.
I don't know who that is.
Anti-abortion activist.
Oh, nice.
So she dominated Google. Yeah. You know, I made my way like third down, but there was confusion there. So people would go to my videos. I would read the comment. My manager would be like, oh, God, read the comments. Like, we love your music, but your political stance. I'm like, no, it's not me. Really opposite. Perspectives there. So that was definitely like a constant issue. Like, how do
wow.
we
yeah.
divide that? Because she really is very, very popular, unfortunately. So that was a thing. But also, like, my birth name is really pretty and flowery, and my music is really sort of more dark and like anthemic, and so it just always felt like not quite the right fit for what it is that I'm creating. So I did make the change. It's been, I wonder if it's been a year yet. Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe just a year. and there was, so in terms of the old sound, I mean, I don't know where you found that. That's must
be, it was on YouTube old. Somewhere.
Okay. Yeah. Hopefully not on my channel. I have to make sure that gets down. But yeah, I mean, that was probably like the beginnings. That was probably like, yeah, the beginning of my exploration. Because that's all I had. I had a loop pedal. I had a guitar. You know, I had a good, you know, piano. Whatever I just had access to.
Sure.
And then gaining tools. Like now I produce for myself. So, you know, I'm in front of my computer a lot and doing that kind of stuff. So engineering. And but I did decide to move the name Animal and actually change the, so change my last two records, Heart Machine and We Animals. So I did go retroactively and change the name and change the covers and all the art and everything because of the licensing.
Right.
So if people are looking for me, they're like, oh, it's, you know, put it together.
Find all one thing. Yeah, is it? It seems like, you know, one of your assets that you create as an artist is your social following,
right?
And people get attached to a specific name or whatever,
right?
And so, how much was that a concern about, like, walking away from, you know, a name that people, some people knew and were attached to, and like, was there a strategy for how to, like, bring people along?
Yes, there was a strategy, not mine. My manager is pretty good with that, and he was great at holding my hand through that. There was nervousness around all that, but it was the time. That was the time, because we were seeing all the numbers, like, rise with all the, you know, especially after Lucifer. We were like, oh, my God. I think it must have been, like, right after Lucifer that we really just did it. So it was like either, okay, sure, like, either now, and it's going to be a little awkward for some people, like, whatever, you know, a few thousand or whatever, or later.
Right.
And then hopefully it'll be more people. So so we made that decision. The other decision I should add is that I would say the more personal reason for the name change, all that stuff was, like, important. And also, I really didn't want to be associated with the other Lila Rose in that way. although I'd love to meet her one day.
You guys could
have a chat. I've written scripts. I have written scripts for, like, I wanted to
have, like a celebrity death match.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Wrestle. Yeah. No, I'd like to actually
wrestle,
like,
for charity.
Conversation. Oh, absolutely. Kick her ass. But anyway, Animal also, like, just being such a huge advocate of equality of all, you know, of all life. I mean, the earth, all animals, all humans. I'm taking it to the maximum equality level. To me, remembering that we're animals is the one thing that ties us together, regardless of race or gender, ethnicity, religion. It's that one thing that bonds us, I think. And so, you know, and I am obviously a huge animal lover. So I just, for me to...
Do you have pets?
I do.
What do you have?
I have a cat and I have rescue chickens. They're all rescues, but chickens. Actually, one of my chickens is homesick.
Here in LA?
Yeah. I got to go deal with that after this.
My wife wants chickens, but she wants every animal.
Oh, me too.
We have so many animals. It's not even. It's not fun.
We need to talk about this after the show.
Yeah, it's not fun. All about it. It's not fun at all.
Oh, you don't like it?
No, I love animals. I don't feel the need to have them as roommates.
That's a good way of putting it.
They're generally not great roommates for the most part.
They're not. I mean, they bring a lot of love, but they're pain in the ass.
Yeah, I'd love to have them visit. If you're enjoying this one, go back into Rebel Radio archives. Check out my interview. I think it was might have been our second episode ever. Was my man Gabriel Garcon Montano. He's similar kind of sexy music vibe to what Animal's all about. He's got a new record out. If you haven't heard it, check it out. It's on the Stone's Throw label. The album's called Jardine, or Jardine maybe, and it's great. Gabriel Garcon Montano, after you finish up here with Animal. So you've talked about your message a little bit, and I read online that the message is kind of central to your music. So how do you describe that? What's the pithy way of
describing the message?
Describing the message, yeah.
I mean, of the music itself, or like what I represent with my name and like who I am.
Yeah, it's up to you.
Well, because the last record, We Animals, actually, I wrote that record before I changed my name. Mm. So it was, like I said, you know, it's about the interconnectedness of all life and earth and animals and the whole thing in a really, you know, not corny way. Because that could sound corny.
It's about loving everyone.
Sure.
But it is in a way. So that's what that was about.
I mean, it's funny you say that because... you know, some of your music's pretty dark.
Yeah.
And, you know, It's Over definitely tackles, I think, some heavy themes.
Well, that's what I was going to say. So in terms of, like, what's the theme, So It's Over is part of the coming EP, or maybe it'll be out by the time this is out. So it's different thematically. It was more of like We Animals was the thing I always wanted to write, and I didn't know how because it's hard to tackle that subject matter. Mm-hmm. And then I found a way to like wear it all the time with my name. I was like, oh, that's it. Like, I am Animal. Like, mm-hmm. all the time, ask me what it means. Let's talk about it. But my music will be whatever it is that I'm going through. And so this EP that's coming on, that single, I mean, I was going through some shit. You know, I was like getting out of a, you know, abusive relationship, mm-hmm. and it was hard, and I don't really write about that stuff normally, but that's what was real for me, and I needed to get it out, and I did. And coincidentally, it sounds like the most like poppy thing that I've ever written, and I was like, oops, I guess I kind of wrote a pop song. It totally unintentionally, it was just came out like that. And also the EP, these coming songs, like I was doing a lot of the production on my own, instead of like relying on other people. And so because of that, I'm not that advanced in my production skills, mm-hmm. with the programs that I'm using. So they are a little bit more like stripped down and simple. And it turns out that, you know, sometimes pop music is like that. So it might have a little bit more of an accessibility to the songs and also the themes, because that's just what was up for me.
Mm-hmm.
But there's still, you know, no matter what, my music will always have some sort of like political aspect, so I just can't get away from it. So It's Over, it's like I'm you know, it could be like almost like a protest song in a way. It's like, don't like get out, get yourself out if you're in something that I mean, I'm such a hypocrite, but you know, I wrote it to help myself, you know, be the theme
you say
song.
Hypocrite, like that's a bad thing.
In this case, it might be.
I just think I don't know, I don't want to speak for you, but I think we're all, I think hypocrisy is part of life.
Yeah, well, thank you for saying that. It makes me feel better.
No, I mean,
takes time.
Well, you mentioned being hard on yourself, and I think that's like, you know, we love to complain about the hypocrisy in ourselves and others, right? And if you're inclined to be hard on yourself, you're going to turn that inwardly. If you're, you know, if you're having a righteous moment, you're going to be mad at everyone else's hypocrites. And I think, like, that's just part of life, that, you know, it's so much easier to think and say certain things than it is to live by those all the time. And,
true.
And those mistakes or those slip-ups is just part of being human.
Well, thank you. That makes me feel a lot better.
All right. That's my Levine philosophy.
The Levine philosophy.
Something or other.
Some LP. No, I do appreciate
that. Why are you so hard on yourself?
Probably my dad's fault. I love him, but fuck. I mean, really, are you asking that question?
Well, I am.
That is true. My answer is true. Well, he was hard on me.
Okay. You called yourself there's a word here. Terribly impatient machine.
Ooh, where did I write that?
I don't know.
Oh, you were on my
I do
Facebook
stuff.
Or something. Oh, maybe it's anyway. It doesn't matter.
Sometimes I social read
media.
Shit.
I was like, wow, that's true. Where
that's my new thing.
I am
reading.
Terribly impatient. It's a great thing to do. I hear it's fascinating.
Why? Tell me why that's a good thing to be and a bad thing to be.
Okay. Good thing to be terribly impatient. Thank you for asking that question because I don't see it as a good thing. Again, probably because I'm hard on myself. But anyway, why is it a good thing? It's a good thing. I get things done. I do. I do get things done. I mean, I'm a hard worker. I'm persistent. I will do things that are incredibly uncomfortable to get the things done that I want to and create the vision that I see.
What's an example?
From a fun creative perspective, because some of that's not fun what I just said, but some of the fun things is looks fun after but uncomfortable. Some of the photo shoots, the things that I see in my head, I'm like, oh man, really? Like my last album cover, I was holding a gun to my head, and it's oh, am I gonna put this out? Because that's gonna freak some people out, you know, for sure. So I did end up, I don't know if you've seen it, but I did end up making it very dark so that people wouldn't just see it at first. But now, as I've aged a little bit, I'm like, I wish I would have just made that more obvious because people are like, right. Oh, there's a gun there?
Yeah.
Hell yeah, there's a gun there. And now I'm stand stronger in my strain, the things that I want to say. So that.
Plus you could get an NRA sponsorship.
And that.
That'd be awesome.
Too, right?
Yeah.
Money. Yeah.
Right.
I don't know about that. Things like that. Things that are.
You don't like any of my ideas.
I love all of them.
McDonald's, NRA. These are my suggestions for you.
This is where the money's at, right? So I might have to
consider
these things. So doing the things that are uncomfortable.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm willing to do that. The reason impatience is bad is I rush into things sometimes, and then it's like life passes me by. It's like, where was I? I was trying to get all these things done. I'm like, how did I get here? Well, how did I get, really, how did I get here? Where was I when I was doing all these things, trying to get all these things done? And was I enjoying myself? So these are the questions that I've been asking myself. And I think that's why I'm making big life changes. Moved to LA, and which is very recent. So, so I'm glad that I have an opportunity to see myself enough now, early on enough, because this industry is brutal. I mean, it kills people. It just does. You just can be driven to insanity because you work so hard, because you strive, because you're probably a complex person if you're making art in the first, if that's, you're trying to make that your career, in the first place is a crazy thing to do. So the impatience, is really uncomfortable and it doesn't work anyway. What's the point? I could be I want to be so much farther along, but I'm not. So I might as well sit back and enjoy where I am. So that's what I'm trying to do.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting, I think successful people generally want to be more laid back about it.
Right, probably, right?
But I don't know that you get successful that way.
But then if you want to take that a step further, are those successful people happy? And then the final question is, is all this for happiness?
Right.
So, and if so, you'd think so. Because fame, a lot of people strive for fame, popularity, all that kind of stuff. A lot of famous people aren't happy.
Right.
So I think it's important to ask these questions.
Happiness, I've always found happiness a tough one.
That is a tough one.
Because it's so vague.
True.
So, I think it was Tony Robbins that I listened to years ago. who was like, people want happiness. Mm. And I tell him, close your eyes and think of, you know, the happiest moment that you can remember. Mm-hmm. And they do. And he goes, okay, now you're happy. Mm. Now what? Like, you're happy in that moment. Mm. Now what? Mm-hmm. I may have all made all that up about Tony Robbins. I don't know if that was really.
Sounds about right.
Yeah, I think so. right, and so I'm anti-happiness, basically. No, I think, like,
what a statement.
Well, I'm joking, but I think we use that as a substitute for, like, digging deeper into, well, what are the things that make us happy, or, you know, I'll be happy when, whatever, right? And so you might answer that as, like, I'll be happy when my music is making an impact on the world and my message is, you know, is making a difference for people that it resonates with or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. And out of that, you're going to struggle to get there to make that happen. And so, you know, I actually think, like, finding happiness in the struggle is sometimes more achievable than this sort of, like, just this sense of peace that we're expecting to, like, descend upon us.
We're on the same page.
Beautiful.
That's the realization.
All right, I'm done.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming.
We're on the exact same page. Well, I mean, hey, that's does it get more profound than that?
Whoa.
We could talk about, like, why what inspired me to write music. We can talk about that. But, like, really, the end point is, like, what the purpose of being alive. So,
yeah.
It's like, no, there's no end point or happiness, like, unicorns and rainbows. It's like, how do you just, like, find this moment right here? Because here we are to be, like, enough.
It's back to Bikram.
Back to Bikram.
Right? It's like you're meant to find, you put yourself into uncomfortable positions.
Yeah.
In order that you can be peaceful in uncomfortable positions.
I guess so.
That's the way I learned to do yoga.
Yeah.
Right? Is that the point is to be comfortable outside of your comfort zone.
Right. Which is a metaphor for life.
Whoa.
Yeah. I mean, right?
We're fucking deep on Rebel Radio.
It's getting deep.
I got to tell you.
I can't help it.
Questions for you.
Okay.
We do this, like, lightning round thing, except for it's not really that fast.
Okay.
So we call it a lightning round
slow
anyway.
Slow lightning?
Maybe there's a better name for it.
What's slow lightning?
Molasses.
Welcome to the molasses round.
Okay.
What are you most excited about in your life right now?
Not to be like, I'm plugging it.
Yeah,
I'm not.
Plug that shit.
Well, the answer is true. I am really excited about this release that's coming up. No, I am.
What's the EP called?
The EP is called Release. I say it like that because there's an exclamation mark at the end.
Yeah, people love it.
Exclamation mark. Release. Like, get it out. So that's what the EP is called. Release.
Okay.
And the name of the single is It's Over.
Yeah.
And I'm excited about the single because, like I said, it's, I think it's the most accessible thing I've done. Accessible. And, so I'm excited to see what it does for me, for my career. I'm really excited about that. And a little bit nervous, but mostly, yeah, I think that's what I'm most excited about. And it's really soon, too. It's like in a couple weeks, so I feel the anticipation.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
Tell me one decision that changed your life forever.
Moving to California. Yeah, moving to...
Was that a hard choice?
No. Okay. It was a choice. I was, you know, in my, like, mid-20s, and I was just... I just knew it. I always knew I wanted to leave Toronto, mostly because of the weather. It's horrible. But I
don't blame you.
Yeah, I knew it.
I would leave everywhere and come to California.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Stoked. I was just like, yeah, that was an easy thing. It was an easy decision to make. And then it was like, and then it caught up with me. But that was the best thing that I ever chose for my life.
Yeah. Okay, complete this sentence.
Cat.
That's good. Okay, next question.
No, I want to know.
Complete the sentence.
Okay.
I don't have talent. I have blank.
Passion.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's good.
Okay.
What talent or skill have you always wished you had more of?
I wish I was a better instrumentalist.
What instruments would you like to be better at?
Piano.
Yeah.
Ooh, if I was a really good pianist, that'd be off the hook.
Yeah,
I'd be really good at that. Yeah.
What other career would you want if you knew you couldn't fail?
Outside of music?
Yeah.
Do you see my mind go,
Nothing
what?
To do with that.
Oh, if I could be good at it, whoa, probably a politician?
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Whoa, can't believe I just said that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh. Like a senator or some shit? Like, what
probably
would you
the president.
President.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, fuck
Save
yeah.
the animals.
I don't know. That seems like a shit job.
That
I mean,
seems terrible. I don't know why I just said that, but I guess, you know, trying to change, things like that.
It's all up to you.
I'm good at it.
So if I worked for you, I was on your team or whatever, what's something I would hear you say over and over?
Have you heard me say something over and over?
Well, you like to find out the people around you, like to know like what they're passionate about. You ask me that a lot.
Oh, that's nice of me.
Yeah.
See, we do.
You
we,
like, yeah, you that's like funny. To know like how they're like. You also like to know how their days go. Like, you know, just kind of the little things.
I'm caring.
You always
thoughtful.
Like check in. You know,
that's
you're
nice.
Checking. Our,
look at you. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't remember the question, but that's nice.
Doesn't matter. It was a good answer.
What do you? What does your team hear you say?
And we usually don't want the real answer. We just want what you think. It is.
I'm like, but she's right here. Like,
no, it's great.
That's actually that was great for me. Thank you. A little self reflection there.
Yeah, sure. I actually, if I ever go on a job interview, I'm gonna ask that question. I'm gonna ask, if I worked here, what would I hear you saying over and over?
That is a great question to ask.
Right.
And I think probably the real answer to that, because it'd probably be more my manager who I do talk to several times a day, is something along the lines of like, I'm freaking out.
Yeah, because her answer didn't sound very impatient.
Right. That's because, I don't see them
sounds
every
incredibly
day.
Incredibly patient.
And they're new for me. We're not like in that, I can say it all. Yeah, my manager. Yeah.
So your manager would get a more impatient.
Yeah. I'm freaking out. I'm stressed out. Oh, God. Things like that.
What freaks you out most? Like, what comes to mind as the thing that's going to freak you out?
Oh, like, you know, it costs a lot to do anything of, unfortunately.
To be you.
Yeah. On the scale, probably it's not that much, but like, it's like the income versus the output is not always balanced for the degree of the things that I want to create.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, my mind's not simple. I'm like, and then we're going to cover a whole forest and recycle plastic in Guatemala. We did that. And then we'll take it all down. So
nice.
It's just I have these big visions. And so, like, so I guess the fear is, like, that I won't be able to, that I'm going to run out of money, I guess, and, you know, not be successful. And I won't have anything to show for it.
So... You, it seems like you put a lot into the live show.
It's
cinematic. And,
mm-hmm.
Why is that important? Like, cause there's a lot of money goes into that, a lot of time and energy.
Totally.
Some other artist may just go up on stage with a band or by yourself or whatever.
Yeah. But did you remember the show?
I don't even know who I'm talking about.
See?
I'm just making stuff up. So why is that what you want to do?
I think I'm here. I think part of my purpose is to inspire, you know, and I want people to come away changed. I want them to come away, like, remembering it. I want mm-hmm. them to be like, holy shit, and talk to their friends. Be like, dude, this chick was singing from a cage, and she broke out of it, and there was the 3D mapping. And I want to do things... if possible, that haven't been done quite like that before. Mm. I mean, everything's been done. But, like, you know, to try and find a new angle. And, I mean, a million and million millions of people have gotten up on stage and played guitar before, and that's just not... I'm just not interested in doing that.
Is there someone who's... whose live show do you think of when you kind of are doing what you're doing?
I mean, not... Okay.
Like, who sets the bar for you?
Oh. Well, you know, you even hear these stories of what I'm saying, which is very inspiring to me. I had this feeling and sensation and strive before I even heard interviews with people like Lady Gaga.
Mm-hmm.
But then hearing interviews with people like her on that scale, I mean, she's like not, you know, I don't know if this is true, but she says that she doesn't make money on the tours because she puts so much money into it. And same thing as Kanye West.
Mm-hmm.
These people... they put so much into it that they actually end up like not, you know, making money. So mm-hmm.
Is that the goal?
Kanye West. To not make money. No, but they can afford to.
Yeah, yeah.
So sure, that's my goal, to be at a point where I can afford to like do what I want to do.
Yeah.
And not worry about a huge like millions of dollar loss. Of course, that's my goal.
Sure.
Hell yeah. Kanye can be like, okay, now we're going to do this huge thing and sure, we're going to lose money, but I don't care because I got millions more.
Right.
So yeah. Yeah, I strive to be like that. Maybe a little smarter with my money though.
Okay. Who would you be most excited to learn as a fan of your work?
Well, gosh. I mean, if I heard that someone like Bjork was a fan, I'd be like, done my job. I could die in that moment.
Nice.
And then be revived so I could keep doing it. But yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That'd be cool.
What's your favorite city to travel to?
Great question. For some reason, like, cities that I've never been to just popped to mind. That's hilarious.
Okay.
It's like my future vision. Like, I'd really like to go to Italy. I have a feeling I'm going to love it there. But so far, favorite city. Cities aren't really the thing that, like, I think of all the places I've traveled, and it's really about actually nature.
Mm.
So I just thought about, like, places in, like, Sinai, you know, like...
I don't know what that is.
It's the border. It's Egypt, actually.
Oh, wow.
Between Israel and Egypt there. It's really beautiful. You know, places in Australia. But I think more nature.
Oh, we say Sinai. Is that...
Sorry.
No, I'm not correcting you. I'm just...
Well, some people say... Yeah, I guess maybe I was just hanging out with a bunch of Israelis. Sinai.
Sinai. Okay. I had no idea.
Sinai.
Yeah.
I mean, just beautiful, like...
Yeah.
Interesting places.
What is... It's desert, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. On the water, you know, like the Dead Sea. I mean, I don't know why I'm thinking of Israel right now. Anyway, it's just what
I've heard. Israel is beautiful.
It's very beautiful.
Never been.
It's gorgeous.
What's the last great book you read?
Ooh. Hmm. I've been reading some self-help, though.
Okay.
So, I mean, but Eckhart Tolle is killing it.
Yeah?
I mean, it's not, I can't say like, oh, I was reading this amazing novel, but he's so good.
Which one?
You're killing me right now. Eckhart Tolle, The Art of Synchro Destiny or something.
Oh,
like
shit.
That. It's about being in more of a place for, you know, coincidences, basically. Yeah. Yeah, which is really
well,
cool.
Don't feel bad. Our last week's guest also named Eckhart Tolle.
No way. Yeah. Oh, I feel so much better. Always be yourself. See?
Right. What movie have you seen the most in your life?
Ooh, I actually don't really watch movies on repeat too much.
What about as a kid?
Okay, as a kid, yeah. Probably it was The Wizard of Oz.
Mm.
Yeah, which I feel proud to say that. That's a good movie to see on repeat.
Okay.
Yeah. And Groundhog Day. That's
see?
Ironic. That's ironic.
It always. It never fails.
Yeah.
That's one of mine, too. It's not the top, but it's up there.
Are you serious? Groundhog Day?
Oh, yeah.
That's just too weird, though.
But, like, there's movies like that. See, I like to ask that question, because if I asked you your favorite movie, like, you'd have some, like, you'd either say, oh, no, there's so many, I can't think of one.
Yeah.
Or you'd have some, like, well-considered answer that you think paints you in a certain light or whatever, subconsciously or not.
Right.
But the movie you've seen the most often ends up being something that maybe isn't great,
mm-hmm.
but it's good enough. It's usually funny or like doesn't make you think super hard,
mm-hmm.
and it's on all the time.
Right.
And Groundhog Day is one that just like, you know, the cable companies get it. And so they just put that on, a few times a year, around that time every year, whatever, that you're like Christmas time.
Right.
You know, and you'll catch it like halfway through and you'll just watch for a while.
I know this.
Yeah.
I know what happens.
So like I always find people that answer is it's not like you've sat down to watch the movie from front to back.
No.
It's just like you caught it and you just watch from wherever.
Have other people answered that question the same?
Groundhog Day? I don't think we've had that one. Definitely not Wizard of Oz. I don't think we've had Groundhog Day. But that genre, that like... category of movies.
Seasonal stuff.
Yeah, like I go, like I, you know, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. That's one for me.
Nice.
Home Alone. That like Home Alone. Oh yeah,
Home Alone, definitely.
Right, like it just is on. Yeah. And then you're like, oh yeah, this is good enough. I'll give it an hour. Yeah. Or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And or you think you're just gonna watch a couple minutes of it and then you get stuck on the couch. Oh my God,
all the movies I saw as a kid. Not a lot. I didn't get to watch a lot of TV or movies though. The Wizard of Oz though, we had that one.
I didn't either, but I snuck it.
Yeah.
I watched a lot of TV. I just was not supposed to.
Right. My dad let me watch The Simpsons, which I think was for him. That's why he let me.
Yeah, we don't let my son watch The Simpsons or Family. Last night he asked my wife, why can't he watch Family Guy?
Oh, well, I'd be like, sure you can. So let's watch together.
I'm on the fence. You know.
I mean, they're not going to, it depends how old they are, but they're not going to know what's going on, but still.
He wouldn't get a lot of it.
But subconsciously, there's some like real dark humor that they might.
We let him watch a lot that's kind of advanced for him.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Yeah.
Fun for the family, right?
Absolutely. It's better than that crap that he watches.
Yeah.
Like the kid stuff.
I wouldn't know.
It's terrible.
I'm sorry.
It's the worst.
Yeah.
No, you shouldn't know. It's not worth knowing. Who's your favorite DJ?
Oh, that's cute. My first thought was my friend.
Yeah?
Yeah, Believer. Who's that? Is his name.
Believer. Okay.
Yeah, he plays, you know, yeah, it's great. Yeah, I'm not going to be like, Skrillex, this guy kills it. Because, you know, like everybody knows Skrillex. But
What about your favorite live show you've ever seen?
Well, favorite, gosh, that's a mind-boggling question. Such a perfectionist. Gotta get this right. I mean,
you will be graded.
Yeah, right. Oh my God, that's what it brings back for me. Like nothing does it. Oh man, did you see like that most recent Bjork tour? It was a couple years.
I've not seen Bjork live. Maybe at Coachella. But I haven't.
I don't know if Coachella. Oh wait, pause. Okay, yeah, Bjork, love you for life. But speaking of Coachella, whoa. That was actually the most life-changing show. It was at Coachella, Sia.
Yeah.
So I guess that was last year.
Yeah.
Damn. Did you guys see that show?
Yeah.
My brain was just awesome. Like, I mean, that's what I want. I mean, I'm on a tiny scale, but that's how I want people to feel when they walk away. Like, what just happened? And it's like, she just took it to the next level, integrating performance art, very dark performance art, onto that scale of a production when you're that famous.
Yeah.
I was just like, props, girl. Like, that takes some, that takes guts, I think. Just bringing it into the mainstream like that, it's fantastic. Yeah, she's just, her and her team are, I don't know, like, who comes up with these ideas? I'm sure she's behind a lot of it, I'd like to think she is. I just think they're incredibly innovative.
Yeah,
that was the most mind-blowing show.
Nice.
Yeah.
So, okay, EP's coming out.
Yeah.
Where's everyone going to find it?
They'll be able to find it everywhere.
Yeah.
Online.
Animal, no vowels.
A-N-M-L dot us. U-S.
Dot us.
A-N-M-L dot us.
Very inclusive.
Uh-huh, that's the point.
Or patriotic.
depending on how you read it.
Yeah,
damn it. maybe you guys can help me. How do we say, because I haven't had to say the EP title too much yet.
Okay.
How do we say it? So it's spelled, it's all capital letters.
Yeah.
Release, exclamation mark.
Oh.
So how do you say an exclamation mark? Because to say, it's called release. Like, that doesn't say it. And I also don't want to yell because I don't want to scare people. Release!
I think you just yell.
Really?
Yeah.
So what's the coming of the... Release!
Yes. Really? See, that's the part they're going to remember.
That's true.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, so that didn't freak you out?
Even if it did. Okay. Even better if it did.
Okay. All right. So if I'm, like, for instance, if I'm, like, you know, hanging out with Ellen, like, on her show.
Right.
Like, you know, doing an interview.
Yeah.
She did that. You don't think I'd be like,
oh, are you going to dance with Ellen?
I would do anything with Ellen. I would do anything with Ellen. Right. I love her. Yes. Can we make that happen?
Yeah, get on that. You guys should just...
Oh, she's the best.
You guys should just go straight from here.
We're next.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, okay, so release.
Get up there.
Is out on, I think, end of the month.
Okay.
Yeah.
And social, where are you most active?
Where am I?
Somebody once follow you on social, like where is the place?
I mean, probably
like
the
Friendster?
Place.
Friendster, is that?
Oh my God.
Flickr page, is that what's going on?
I feel so old.
No, you don't even know what that is.
I mean, I've heard them. I'm
where would you send people?
Probably they should go to Instagram because I need to get better at it.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's a promise.
Goals, because right now I'm not so very good at it. So Animal Music, A-N-M-L Music. Mm-hmm. All vowels included.
Without the vowels.
Music. Yeah. A-N-M-L Music is my handle on all of the social media.
Cool.
The Facebook and the Instagram and the Twitter.
Thank you for being here.
Thanks a lot for having me.
Come back.
Okay.
Come back and tell us how you made it such a huge success.
Perfect.
That'd be awesome.
I'm totally down.
Woo! Yo, that was Animal on Rebel Radio. I hope you enjoyed it. Leave us a comment, a review on iTunes. Hit us on Twitter, Facebook, at Rebel Radio Net. And look at the YouTube channel for some video snippets of some of our favorite episodes. Most important, come back next week for more Rebel Radio. Peace.